Chanting it together, Madhuram? Not necessary, whatever is practical. I think we just do it very quickly. Keshava, you know, this is such a nice application. It's really wonderful. What is it called? Beta base?
A Gita base.
What?
Gita base.
Gita base? Wonderful. Tatsanga Pramishattaish Tatsanga Pramishattaish Varayam Sangsarantam Kubaryavat Tatkatir Abudasyeha King Asat Kamabhir Bhavet Tatsanga Pramishattaish Varayam Sangsarantam Kubaryavat Tatkatir Abudasyeha This is a discussion about the uselessness of material existence, and it describes the meeting of Narada Muni with the sons of Daksha, the Hayashvas, whom Narada Muni wanted to convince to take up spiritual life. So here is the text for you. Yes. Hare Krishna kitchen crew. I think they say, maybe you can say, because we can hear everything, that they can talk softly, huh? Softly. Sing softly, talk softly. So Narada Muni had given an analogy. He had said that material intelligence is like a prostitute. Do you know what a prostitute tries to do? She tries to dress and behave in a way that people who are very with uncontrolled mind and senses are attracted and will pay her for her services to satisfy their senses. So material intelligence is like that. Narada Muni had spoken of a man who is the husband of a prostitute. The Hayashvas understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive activities under such conditions, what will be the benefit? Let me please summarize it in a little bit more simpler English. If you have an intelligence which has very, very polluted games or goals of life, like for instance, taking revenge on someone, or just materialistic pursuits, then you continue your materialistic life, life after life. And Prabhupada here says, polluted intelligence has been compared to a prostitute. One who has not purified his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyayasa Yatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana, those who are actually serious are conducted by one kind of intelligence, namely intelligence in Krishna consciousness. But one who is not fixed in proper intelligence discovers many, many modes of life. Thus involved in material activities, he is exposed to the different modes of material nature and subjected to varieties of so-called happiness and distress. If a man becomes the husband of a prostitute, he cannot be happy. And similarly, one who follows the dictations of material intelligence and material consciousness will never be happy. I think we understand the analogy. Imagine someone would marry a prostitute. Now I don't think many of you, they have heard the name, but you don't really know what they are. In Berlin we have these ladies. They dress in very, very amazing ways. Amazing. It's not expensive, but very, very, you know, you've never seen this kind of dress anywhere else than on these ladies. No? They stand on a road which goes outside of the town of Berlin, and then people who are men who feel lonely and frustrated in life and who are really poor, they stop and they take them with them in the car, and then the rest I do not want to talk about. So imagine a man would marry such a lady. His wife would be next day again on the street in the darkness trying to stop cars with unfortunate people. He would not be happy in the marriage relationship because his wife would be every night with another man. That's how they earn the money. No, so that is material intelligence. It is not steady, you know. Today it tells you this, tomorrow it tells you another thing, and the day after tomorrow a total different pursuit. If one follows or is married to this material intelligence, one day he wakes up and he thinks, I must marry. The next day he wakes up and thinks, I will never marry. The third day he thinks, I will go to California to study mechanical engineering. The next day says, oh, foolishness, I go on the bus tour. Material intelligence is constantly flickering, bringing unsteady goals. So this is the idea here. One must judiciously understand the activities of material nature. You are English speaking, ladies and gentlemen. What does the word judiciously mean?
Very carefully distinguish properly.
One must judiciously understand the activities of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, can I read you the verse? Yes. Will you listen?
Yes.
Oh, good, good. Then I will feel encouraged. Prakite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kadaham iti manyate. Wow, you pandits. The bewildered spiritual soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. I think you all remember the painting. There are two men, one is acting as a boss, the other as a laborer. The boss tells the laborer to dig a hole, and they do this. Now both laborer and boss are connected with strings to puppeteers which are looming in the clouds and who are using them and moving them forward. So in the material nature, when we follow our material intelligence, we are really moved by the nature. We are brought here, brought there, brought everywhere. Although one follows the dictations of material nature, he happily thinks himself the master or husband of material nature. Scientists, for example, try to be the masters of material nature, life after life, not caring to understand the supreme person under whose direction everything within this material world is moving. Trying to be the masters of material nature, they are imitation gods who declare to the public that scientific advancement will one day be able to avoid the so-called control of God. Now Google has a program, I don't know if you have heard about it. They are researching so that by the year 2060, people will be immortal. Yes, they will break into the codex of the DNA code, which, amongst other things, controls the process of aging, and they will, the DNA code will no longer fire, become old to the cells, but it will fire other information. So they feel that in this way they can be immortal. So 2060, some of you will be still alive, most probably. Yeah? Then we have an immortal Keshava, according to material science. Do you believe that this is possible? No, Raj, no? Why not? What is your thought? Why will it not be possible?
Because Krishna has made us, so if Krishna hasn't made us immortal, humans can't override that with material intelligence.
Krishna has made us in that way that we will be, our bodies are mortal, and therefore no material science can override this. Religious person. Well, thank you, Raj. Well, wonderful. also cannot imagine, because it's always known as a place of birth and death. And I do know in ancient times there are in Ayurveda, for instance, there is one cure. It's called Kaya Kalpa is, you take medicine which has doses of mercury, and you take it for 40 days. You are in a dark room at that time, and you will sleep most of the time, or meditate, but most of the time sleep. And that has reportedly increased the lifespan of people. For instance, I read a book about someone who became 180 years old. That it's possible to extend a little bit the life duration, but also then he had to die. No? Some Krishna has given us some freedom. In a certain range we can expand the life duration. My Ayurvedic doctor in India has offered this, that to me, that he will give me this cure or this medication. And I've asked him, how long do you think? Well, 120 years for sure. But I have said, let me think about it. I'm not sure if I want to extend the life lengths in the body, because I'm preparing for eternal life. That is. But it's possible to a little bit switch around, but not. You can't make the body eternal. It's not. So let us chant another. Where are we? Scientists, for example, try to be the masters of material nature, life after life, not caring to understand the Supreme Person, under whose direction everything within this material world is moving. Trying to be the masters of material nature, they are imitation gods who declare to the public that scientific advancement will one day be able to avoid the so-called control of God. In fact, however, the living being, unable to control the rulings of God, is forced to associate with the prostitute of polluted intelligence and accept various material bodies, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 13:22. I think the pandits amongst you would like to join me. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jangunan karanam guna sangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. How do you know the chant? I'm interested.
Bhakti Shastri.
You have learned where?
In Mayapur.
Congratulations. My God. The living entity of material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not solve this real problem, what profit will he gain? I would just like to give a little purport to this verse. It discusses in this section of the Bhagavatam how we follow our material intelligence, our mind, and how the mind often changes courses. Like yesterday I spoke to one of you, and he said to me that you know, Maharaj, I have this unfortunate situation. I pray to Krishna, and when Krishna gives me success, fulfills my prayers, then I'm grateful. But when he doesn't fulfill my prayers, I curse him. Sometimes a whole week passes by and I just don't chant because I'm so disappointed with him. And we discussed together this, do you think you will ever make a relationship with Krishna if one day you are like this and another day like that? And we discussed these false friendships where today they say, I'm your follower on your Facebook page, and the next day you get a hate mail from them. You think, such a person, I don't want to form a relationship. Today he's like this, hot, and tomorrow he's like that, he's cold. So this is what a devotee does in relationship to Krishna. Krishna will not be very, very satisfied with such a person with such a changing heart. It is said that once there was a sadhu with his disciple walking through walking to get to an ashram, but somehow it was longer than they planned. The way was longer than they planned, and when night set in, they had to find some shelter. It became darker and darker, and then it started to rain. And finally, they found shelter under a rock. And somehow the rock bent forward a little bit, so that the rain could not hit the sadhu and his disciple. They were sheltered from the rain. So the next morning, the sadhu looked at the rock, and he could see that the rock had moved a little in order to give them shelter. And he had said, "Well, you are really compassionate. I bless you that in your next life you will become a human being." So this time, at this, the rock began to cry and speak, "Oh, don't make me a human being, because they have such hard hearts, you know. They're so hard-hearted. They are only interested in their own enjoyment, and when that is not given, then they become enemies to the person they praised a little while ago." So, today I want to speak to all of you about a question. What is really important in this life? What is it that we should really do? What is it that we should really aim for? I know some of you are in the situation, they think, should they study, should they do take up a work, should they maybe marry, or should they stay by themselves? What is important, and how to make proper decisions? Well, I would like to invite you for a little thought experiment. Look at your life. How old are you, Keshava?
19.
Only 19. Others are Raj, you a little older?
I'm 20.
20? Vanamali is also 20. 22. Wow. The ladies are. Do we have someone 25? What? Namamali, not Vanamali. Namamali. Sorry. I give many names, so I have a bad habit. No, I'm joking. So when I say someone here is average, like 20 years, if you would have an exact movie of your life, you know, every minute is filmed, every single second, even when you are asleep, even when you close the door after you and lock the door to engage in hygienic activities, that would be filmed. And you would have a movie about you where you are the only important role. It would last exactly 20 years. I have a movie, my movie of life is 65 years. Oh, I think no one would be inspired to look at this movie. Now, because this is so long, 20 years movie, oh, who sees a 20 years movie? We have difficulties to see a movie which is longer than 2 hours. We feel like, oh, too long. I need to do many other things. Now imagine you could make the movie of your life so far, up to this point. What is today? It's August, I think. 9. Up to August 9, you have an exact movie of your life, but because of modern technology, you could shrink that movie down to 2 minutes and 36 seconds. And you would now watch this movie of your life. It would show how you were born, it would show things which were important to you in your childhood, maybe a journey which you made. It would show your happiness and distress in the Gurukul, if you went to a Gurukul. It would show really everything, but very fast. But because it's the movie of your life, you would recognize the scenes. What would really be important? Would you like to make this experiment, or are you too tired or too brain dead? If you look at the movie of your life, can we do this for a moment? I make a little good music for you. I have not much choice, but of this, maybe this. Okay. You would see, let us start with your birth. There your mother is. All of a sudden, her belly begins to move. She's in great agony. And you come out. That's the start of the movie. Seconds more. seconds. Finished. Did you find things which are important? It's a questionable, isn't it? Do you remember how excited you were at the time when these scenes were going on? And how now it seems to be so unimportant. It's amazing, this exercise. Like, I would like to tell you one scene. When I was 4, I had a male doll. His name was Winky. And I needed to go with Winky wherever I went. And one day, Winky's arm somehow ripped out. I don't know who was it. Maybe the neighbor dog, or at least Winky had lost an arm, and I was furious. I was going to buy a machine gun and kill my whole neighborhood and take revenge. I was so angry with the world. And now when I talk about it or think about it, I think, oh no, it was not a problem. Everything in this material world has that Winky nature. It is very, very important while it is there. But then it goes. Or let me talk a little bit more graphic. As many of you are boys, remember when you thought, this girl is the fulfillment of all my dreams. And then after some time you did not pursue this any longer. Or a lady, you know, remember the times when you were so disturbed about something, really so disturbed, that you cried for long hours about it. And now when you look about it, well, is it really that important? Isn't it? This is how it is. But during the time when there is something before our which catches our attention, it consumes all the attention which we have. We are totally captured in it. We are totally unfree by it. And this is what this verse is talking about. It talks about how one loses all one's independence when one follows the intelligence and mind and is bound to it. No? Because the intelligence and mind is a big, big advertising industry. It focuses on one item, and then it makes a prolonged story about it, a real big story. I would like to give you an example which we gave in Belgium that one morning. I think some of you were there. That the advertisement industry would say, this plastic container, you need this transparent, see-through plastic container, which has a very good lid. Then you have a very muscular looking man. He has a switch wristwatch, you know, Tag Heuer. It has 25 functions. He has it in his wristwatch. He sits on the top of a Swiss mountain, and he has this see-through plastic container. It's a big one, and he has a few items, his jacket in there, and a torchlight, and so on. And he looks with a very manly look into the camera, and he says, and I say, items in there, and you think, wow, he can go everywhere, he's self-sufficient, he just, you know, there's this big, huge plastic box. He just puts it somewhere, he puts up his camp somewhere, and he's independent. He doesn't need to work any longer. No need to household responsibilities, no need. You know, he doesn't need to study. The book is right in there in the big plastic box. And he sits there on the mountain, and he's absolutely independent. Now, who of you thinks seriously of a big plastic box? I mean, this is something which no one thinks about. No, it is, and it's a lie. It doesn't give you unlimited freedom. But the material intelligence is just making this advertisement and this show. And if someone becomes convinced by this, he loses all independence. This man, you will buy for, you will work for a useless item, which is totally overpriced, and then you, what do we do with this now? I mean, it looked so interesting in the advertisement company when I saw this poster, but why did I buy this? And you know, in America, I have heard you can buy storage room for all these things which you put in there. Even in London, I have seen there's a big storage room where people just put all their unnecessary items in. My dear devotees, this is exactly what happens when we follow our mind and material intelligence. It makes a story about something, and then we live. Sometimes we follow the story 20 years before we realize it doesn't make me any happy. It has not really increased my well-being in the way. There is a verse which I have like to quote to you. The duration of the two parts of Brahma's life is calculated to be equal to one nimesha, that's an eye blink, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchanging and unlimited and the cause of all causes of the universe. In other words, even a life, as long as that of Lord Brahma, with many creations, including big see-through plastic boxes, you know, that is so brief and short and unimportant. So in this life, we need to therefore look through the advertisement of our mind and senses and determine for us what we consider truly important. Have you thought about this so far? Manuram, you have thought about what is important? You have thought about this? What are your thoughts on this? What do you consider important? Manuram. Why do you consider this important? I mean, isn't it a waste of time? Because no one becomes Krishna conscious. Look at these people. They will not become Krishna conscious in a million lifetimes. No, I'm asking one of them. No, it's not a joke, it's serious discussion. I have read in the scriptures, I have heard from sadhus, and I have faith that this is important. I think Manuram is very correct, because whatever you, that's why I live like this, Whatever you do in devotional service, my dear devotees, it has the quality of eternity. Yes, a devotee will also die, and at the time of death, many things will go, but what stays with him are the activities he has done in devotional service. These are permanently beneficial. Not his job, not his this and not that. And as far as my very offensive statement, I think all of you, I mean, I can't, we never can guarantee that, but most of you will think of this journey as something very, very important for your spiritual life. Yes, I know that some of you are looking exhausted. I know that some of you are, when is this going to end? 2 weeks at the more. At times when thinking like this, but when you look back in half a year, you think, what a blissful activity, because the little inconvenience with the which the mind sometimes blows up and makes it appear as so important, the little inconvenience is purifying your heart, and it soon is forgotten. No, you won't remember when you go back to this day, oh, I was a little sleepy in the morning. You will remember, oh, there was a familiar noise in the kitchen, and the devotees did something in the kitchen. There was a beautiful kirtan by, I forgot, a very nice melody, this devotee. I forgot names at the moment. I don't know, it's a symptom of old age, I think. But you will remember maybe the walk which we will do, and so on. No, these are investments into eternity. What other things you consider important? Raj, you had some thought.
I think the most important is developing efficient consciousness, but beyond that, things such as the welfare of your parents and your mother and your father.
And acting for the welfare of the parents and so on. Yes, that is also extremely important. I always think, where would we all be without mother and father? So to take care of them is a definite, very important activity. I would like to encourage all of you to think of things which you consider important and invest in them. For me, for instance, it's of great importance to get to know more about Krishna, and I therefore like to read Krishna conscious literature. I also like to read other literature from time to time, because it allows me a certain perspective which I would not get anywhere else or any else in other ways on Krishna consciousness. I consider my intellectual growth is important, for instance, because then if my mind is nicely oiled, I can use it very nicely in Krishna's service. A few things I consider also relationships, a few relationships as very important. I think it's good to invest in them. You cannot have deep relationships to everyone in the world, but there are few true friends who will be with you always. So I think we sometimes take them too much for granted and so on. So all of you, please look through the advertisement company of the mind, which often takes unimportant things and makes them appear to be very important, and to find out what very important things in your life and invest in them. Give every day your best. This is a little bit what how I want to explain this verse in a more practical way. I thank you, Keshava. I'm very impressed by this very beautiful program. Go, Krishna. Just see how beautiful this program is. Keshava, have you seen it before? Maybe you can, you can share with Go Krishna. So, good. So I want to, I will not give a very, you know, long lecture. I want to now see if you have any questions in your, regarding this lecture or any other program of interest for you. Point of interest. I see Keshava. No, your hand is expressively moving.
You're saying that when we find something important to us, that we should invest our time in it. And many times we find that we're investing our time in the things that we know are not important. So it seems as though there's a... we don't realize what's really important. So how do we come to put that into practice?
I'm writing at the moment at a life school, and one of the models which I present is the tree of life. Maybe you have heard about it somewhere, but for those who have not, I would like to just in 2 minutes explain the concept. The tree of life is a holistic or inclusive model of our life and teaches us what we need to take care of in our life. There are four dimensions in our life: our spiritual well-being, then our physical and emotional well-being, and also our social well-being, you know, friends, society, and so on. These four areas correspond to the four areas of a healthy tree. The tree needs roots, it needs a good stem or tree trunk with a good bark protecting it, and it also needs the crown of the tree where fruits and leaves and many things grow. Human beings need their spiritual roots intact, and they need to nourish them every day. And our movement talks a lot about it. But there are three other areas which are also important. Our physical well-being is important, and our emotional well-being is important. We cannot leave that out of sight. I've seen many devotees who are very ill because they eat things which are, they cannot digest very nicely, and become ill, and get cancer, you know, an unnatural growth of the cells due to a very unhealthy lifestyle, and also karma. So also there. And emotional well-being. You need to see that you are content in your life, that you are having good feelings towards others. And social well-being. You need to be able to see yourself as a contributing member of society. Not just me, I, mine, interest. Because, you know, no one is an island. We live in a community of people, and we need to see that there is a good give and take from our side, a natural thing. Then we can live a fulfilling life. I've seen many, many people who are social workers, for instance, but they do nothing for their spiritual roots. They do nothing for their own well-being, and therefore they are burned out very quickly. I've seen people as strong as 20 gorillas, but they don't do anything for their spiritual well-being. They're just totally foolish, and the amount of biceps, is this called biceps?
Biceps.
You know, if they measure it one morning and it's half a millimeter too smaller than the day before, they get into a life crisis. Yes, they need therapy for, you know. No, you're laughing, but this I've personally seen, because they lack their spiritual roots. They are too much identified with the body. I've seen devotees who chant, but besides chanting, they only sleep because their bodies are so wasted and they feel so tired all the time. We in our party, preaching party, we do 7 minutes of intense workout. Theoretically, we are a little lazy now. But I do every day yoga for the physical body, because I know I couldn't do the service without taking care of the body. So yes, Keshava, coming back to your question, there are definite, you know, you can't say that only spiritual life is important. You need to take care of your physical well-being, and also your young men. Most probably you will marry at one stage and there will be 20 Keshavas coming from you, all super intelligent, running around like flashes, playing music, singing, you know, super busy all the time. Maybe three are enough to start. You do need an education. You need to go to the university to study something to be able to maintain your family, so and your life. So everything is important, but everything needs to be properly dosaged. Our Matajis are preparing something, isn't it? Prasada?
Yes.
Thank you, Devaki. So you need to be balanced. It's like life is like a spice sortiment. You need to be the proper amount of salt, proper amount of pepper, proper amount of everything. So I think we are now done for this. If any one of you have further questions, we have a beautiful nature walk and we will sit very soon on the top of mountains. Can't believe it. I'm really eager to go to this. I do know the mountains where we will go to. When I left these mountains, I said to them, I mean, not really to them, but to myself, one day I will be back. Today is my day. Hare Krishna. I have some friends, they wait for me. So I think we should stop here so that we can all get ready. Thank you very much. And, you know, in the lecture when you say, you stop here, wow, good, we made it. We survived. I hope it was not that boring. Think about the advertising of the material mind and intelligence, and better look through it than waste maybe 20 years of your life on one of these foolish advertisements which the mind puts forward. All the best, and Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Thank you.